people's consciousness is the proverbial saying, "You are what you eat." More often than not, it is understood in the literal sense, when preparing food or looking for something to eat in the kitchen. In the process of looking for food in the kitchen, something is often overlooked, the certain kind of magic that kitchens possess. You see, beyond being a place where food is made, a kitchen can be a place of intimacy, where identities are formed, passed on, and further developed. In kitchens, we are able to learn more about life and how meanings are created, negotiated, and shared through food. More than its nutritional value, food represents what we value as individuals, as a community, and as a Filipino nation. Welcome to On Point, the guidance podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. As we mark the end to the celebration of Buwan ng Wikang Pambansa, we examine how the Filipino identity is both formed and transformed through Filipino cuisine. With us today is the person behind one of the famous go-to places of Filipinos, which is best known for their ensaymadas and cheese rolls, the founder of Mary Grace Cafe, Mary Grace de Macali. I'm Belle Gregorio. Let's go on point. When someone says ensaymada or cheese rolls, I'm sure I'm not the only one who would instantly think of Mary Grace Cafe's red and gold box with the words, the goodness of home. So let's talk about home. Growing up, what was your relationship with food like?
I had a grandmother who was a very good cook. I have very vivid memories of her coming home. I would watch her through the window, her home, no? And she would be bringing these bayongs left and right. And then she would herself whip up dishes at home. My mom has also natural sense of taste, having grown in a family where she saw her mom cooking a lot. For myself, I was always mesmerized with cakes, you know. Seeing these cakes rise in the oven was, wow, magic. Sense of wonder would always come over me. So that when I got married and I was raising the children, you know, naturally during those hours I wasn't busy with them, I would look through recipe books and I would try my hand with these recipes in my own kitchen because I have a sense of the entrepreneurship in me. I think it's very natural. I would put these goodies in plastic trays, you know, and my girls, my kasambahay, would, in their aprons, you know, ring on doorbells for anyone interested to buy, you know, the pastries and all. So that's how I was leaning to food and trying my hand in baking.
Well, you mentioned cakes and goodies. Could you share what your favorite cakes were and what these baskets of goodies contained?
Yes. Well, my cake. I always bake mocha cakes with layers of butter icing in between because they were the birthday cakes I'd make for my children from year to year. I have 5 kids, by the way. So I never bought a birthday cake. Birthdays are always opportunities to get better, you know. Baking the cake as well as decorating it. Of course, like all beginner bakers, I tried my hand with brownies. That's always the first thing, you know. Brownies and chocolate cupcakes, lemon squares, fruit tarts. And then because I was a busy mom, Belle, I said, what will not take my time away from the children? Because they were all growing up, homework and reading them their books. A basic mothering, you know. I went into fruitcakes. Fruitcakes only took the burr months, so from September to December. And I'd be buying the ingredients September. I would be baking them too and storing them till November when they would be distributed, you know, to friends who would like to make a little something on the cakes. So I was doing fruitcakes for a good number of years. Till I said, let me learn more about the craft. And that's when I fortunately found myself in a school in the United States. It was West Valley in California. My parents were green card holders. So they heard about this school for would-be entrepreneurs. So we would be baking large batches of bread and cakes and pastries, not, you know, small batches and little baking bowls that go into La Germania ovens, no? This one is huge bowls. In fact, we used our hands. We washed our hands first, of course, and we wore gloves to, you know, dive into the into these big bowls of flour and eggs and butter, etc., and mix it with our hands too, you know. And this would go into an oven, which really, wow, I have never seen an oven so big in my life. And we would bake batches of wonderful rye bread and croissants, all the American classics, you know, and then transport these goodies into a store, which were sold every day. So I really loved that experience because it would prepare me for my business later on.
So when you were in the States among different nationalities, yeah, how did you find or retain your identity as a Filipino baker?
I had to adapt, no, to a mix of people. She said international, no? But I was who I was because when we had parties, no, we had parties and you had to bring your own food. You know, I'd always come with my own food from the kitchen. You know? I'd come with adobo or pancit, you know, the usual classics. You know, lumpia. You know, where the Iranians brought their own food. You know, the Italians brought their own food as well. The Chinese, and then we just all put it out on the table and enjoy the food.
Wow, that sounds so interesting and so cool how different cultures just merge together in one place. Yes. So let's now talk about prominent figures in the F&B industry or entrepreneurs among your family or those during your time when you were growing up, whom you've looked up to as a child.
Well, as a child growing up, not like you, you have a huge array of books now. You know, you can avail of a hardbound or online, right? During my time, there was Nora Daza. I don't know if your mothers have that in the collection of books in the kitchen. There was Nora Daza. There was Silvia Reynoso. There was my own teacher from my village where I live, Rory. What is her name now? Anyway, her first name was Rory. And I looked up to them, no? Because these women were so very, wow, easy with baking, you know, like it was under their skin. And I like that very much. I looked up to them.
Okay, so let's now talk about conceptualizing Mary Grace Cafe. When you, yes, were conceptualizing it, what did you want it to be known for?
Of course, the ensaymadas. I asked myself, when I came home from my baking school, no, in California, I wonder why I didn't go into croissants and rye bread and challah bread and all this array of American goodies. I wanted something close to the hearts of Pinoys, no? And that for me was the ensaymada. And the cafes would be, I'd always dreamed of, you know, a customer sitting by the window and cutting freshly baked ensaymadas or cheese rolls and dipping it into a cup of hot chocolate. That's really what spurred me on to, you know, launch Mary Grace with the flagship of the ensaymadas and the cheese rolls.
Okay, so you've talked about having a conscious effort to integrate the Filipino identity. But now let's talk about how you integrated your own personal identity, your personality, your values, yeah, and your own experiences, yes, with, yes, food into the business.
When you see concepts, cafe concepts, mushrooming, you think in your head, maybe I should be like them. Maybe I should copy what they're doing because they're already very successful. During the time, I remember I would be sitting in Starbucks and just looking around and telling myself, maybe I should do this too, you know, in my cafe. Thanks be to God, the elements of Filipino design came in. The use of bricks, because I'm like that, no? I like the touches of Filipino, the use of bricks, the use of ventanillas. I don't know if you see it, you would have a ledge and you'd always have this. Ventanillas are slats, ventanillas, ventilation. In the old Filipino houses, you would have them beneath the windowsill for air to come in, you know. So I used those elements on the ledges, machuca tiles. These are cement tiles, no? I like it being part of our culture. I was very drawn, and as a lot of women, I think, are very drawn to machuca tiles. So it became part and parcel of the look of a Mary Grace. We're talking about ambiance here, no? And where food was concerned, you know, we brought out the chicken in a sal sandwiches, the longanisa for breakfast, because my grandmother, she was Ilocana. What is close to the heart of every Ilocana is vegan longanisa, you know. So I made that into a sandwich, and then it is breakfast fare. If you come to Mary Grace, you would have garlic rice with vegan longanisa and pulong manga and a bit of kamatis mixed in with some cilantro, no? I would think this came out then, I think, as part of who I am, not because I needed to copy someone. So I don't know, you will probably ask me the question then, if you wanted to launch a business, what should guide you in coming up with the menu or the look of your cafe? I would say, Belle, you know, you be yourself. Not anybody else, but who you are, what you lean to. Don't be who you aren't. And I think when you become who you are, you know, people will know it. Then they will gravitate to you as well. You know, you're not a wannabe. You know, you are who you want to be, you know, to the market out there.
You mentioned a lot of different trends popping up in the industry. How difficult is it to maintain the Filipino food identity with the increasing number of fused restaurants and cuisines?
If you look at chorizo pasta, the chorizo we get from a supplier, chorizo is very part of our tradition, diba? Pinoy is a little bit of Spanish, right? So chorizo pasta, we make use of chorizo. The chocolate, that's part of our culture as well. Our sausages, which is known as the vegan longanisa. I think that it's quite refreshing to be able to present the classics in a new way. So I think that was nice and creative to turn it into a sandwich. I still have to think of perhaps using, others have done it already, diba? Crab talangka and making it into a sauce for a pasta, or maybe a dulong. No, we have dulong, by the way, in the cafe as a appetizer. I was thinking long time ago of making it into a pasta as well. And I think a lot of cafes ventured to try to do that, no? Tinapa, tuyo, in pasta. Maybe that you've given me an idea, maybe I should explore that.
So what significant changes have you observed in the local F&B industry through the years?
Maybe I'll go back a little further. Western brands came into the country, diba? You have McDonald's, Kentucky's Chicken, diba? And I really look up to Jollibee kasi sinabayan niya. In fact, wherever there was a McDonald's, there would be a Jollibee, right? It's great that Filipinos, the Tangkatyongs, no? Were able to stand next to proven Western brands. And now they're a celebrated brand, no? Also in the United States, they're there already, no? Diba? I mean, it's just wonderful that you have these Filipino concepts becoming chains. It makes me very proud of that. When you have Max Chicken, diba? Fried chicken lang yun, pero tingnan mo naman how she eventually became conglomerate, a chain of stores in every province in the country. And we look to do that also, you know, in time. So that's really what inspires me to see brands become ambassadors of their country. And these brands to be looked up to also. I mean, nakakatuwa, di ba? When you see Americans lining up when there's a Jollibee store opening in California or wherever, di ba?
Okay, so you mentioned stores opening and Filipinos supporting these stores and foreigners supporting stores like Jollibee opening abroad. But now let's talk about the increasing number of businesses that have shut down because of the COVID-19 pandemic. What difficulties have you needed to overcome as a business owner?
When the pandemic hit us, I thought too that we should just all fold up. Anyway, there is that risk of your people catching the disease, not getting sick. But then the other side of that is the economy and the dire reality that people will have to continue to work to be able to put food on the table. So for us, I don't know about the others, that's what drove us to stay open. Because in the end, you'll have to try to stay safe, but in the end, you'll also have to stay afloat, not only for the financial health of Mary Grace, but also because of the situation that your people will have to bring home the bacon and with this be able to continue to live, to eat three meals a day, you know, pay the rent, put the children through school. And so that was the main thing that I decided to tell my family, this is, we got to keep on going. But others have closed. I think maybe because we adapted. We've always been proud of the concept of our dine-in, you know, that you can sit amidst the lights that are twinkling and the birds that are fluttering and you can hear this wonderful music and find your little corner and open a book, find your space, be at home, you know, home away from home. That was so hard to lose, you know. Masakit, diba? But then we had to roll with the times. So Mary Grace went into takeaway boxes, onto Grab boxes delivery, or whatever, delivery, on motorcycles. It was great that one saw, what is this, the TikTok, is it, you know, that this wife was so happy to have received, you know, her favorite Mary Grace on her birthday. And the husband laid it out, you know, made it look like they were, you know, going to have dinner in the cafe. It's amazing how we can still be part of people's lives in that way.
Yeah, well, that's definitely touching because for me, I could definitely say that I've also been ordering Mary Grace online since I don't really find it comforting to go out. And especially with the new guidelines now, I don't think dining in is really an option. So I'm really grateful that Mary Grace is able to traverse into the industry of deliveries.
But you see a lot of restaurateurs, Belle, nasasayangan sila na they have to bring their food in takeaway boxes because they do know, and all of us know, that fresh from the oven or fresh from the stove, no, into a plate and onto the table is really the best thing in the world, diba? Thanks be to God, the Grab drivers are fast, and so they get they get the food to you, and the food is still warm.
Okay, well, aside from all these ECQ guidelines in the country that Mary Grace Cafe has had to face, I think another issue in the F&B industry was the Department of Trade and Industry recently announcing that it established a technical committee in charge of developing national standards for cooking popular Filipino viands such as adobo or sinigang. There have been varying opinions regarding this, but in your opinion, what might be the pros and cons of developing standards for Filipino viands?
I think it's very good, diba? Like the adobo, for example, no? It's a classic. It's a favorite, right? But I think we need to do something about reducing the fat and yet maintaining the nam-nam of the adobo. I think standards like that will elevate even our cuisine higher. Presentation, we can learn a lot from the Japanese. Presentation, meaning to say, you don't put the whole thing in a bowl, leg of chicken, adobo chicken, right? Perhaps brightened up with some slices of mango or tomato. Perhaps resting on a mango salsa, that sort of thing, di ba? So nakaka-elevate. Setting also the nutrition value, a manner of cooking, di ba? So you want to see your pinakbet not dull or nawala na yung green niya, di ba? Pero fresh pa rin yung greenness ng sitaw, di ba? Ng okra. Because there's a way to cook the vegetables without making them lose the greenness. Which brings across to you na it's still very full of nutrition and the vitamins are still in there, and yet it's delicious.
I guess what people have been worried about is the issue of authenticity, because since we are an archipelago, there are different ways that different Filipino cultures cook a certain viand.
You want to be able to preserve that.
Mm-hmm, like the different, the different recipes present in the country.
Yes. I think you have to maintain authenticity as well. It's a good balance of breathing in the new into the classic. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And adapting to the growing sophistication of the taste of a people who are now open globally to better ways of presentation, etc. I go for that, wouldn't you? I mean, but of course, I appreciate, authentic adobo or authentic pinakbet, you know, binagoongan. I guess there's always a market for that. In the end, I think I would like to go into a cafe and be, you know, at home with home-cooked adobo from this region or that region.
Yes, well, you mentioned the global landscape again. I think it's something that we've been mentioning throughout our conversation, like how present the Filipino food identity is when put in a global scale. So for you, how else do you think can Filipino dishes be promoted internationally while not compromising the authenticity of Filipino food?
Like I said, diba, we're very, especially Westerners, they're very conscious about fat. So our adobo, yung classic adobo natin, is swimming in fat. When and why not? Diba? Actually, adobo was food on the galleons traveling from Mexico to the Philippines. So what preserves the meat is fat. So sa paningin natin mga Pinoy, natural yung fat. In fact, Kapampangans, they just love to take in that fat, right? I think it's time for us to adjust according to what's healthy for Pinoys, you know, and yet maintaining, as you said, the authenticity as well as the nam-nam factor of the dish.
Well, the things you've shared made us realize all these certain aspects of really thriving in the F&B industry and how it isn't just about food, how it's about culture, it's about identity, it's about safeguarding the people who work in the cafe. So it's really an understatement to say that operating a restaurant is difficult. But still, I'd like to explore what inspires you to continue to keep going despite the difficulties of being in the industry.
Yeah, you know, for me, I always feel that for business endeavor to succeed, it must have a higher goal. I told you a while ago that I feel very proud for Filipino brands to be out there, you know, who are ambassadors for the country. And one of the reasons why I want to keep going is that I hope Mary Grace will be an ambassador also. But the goodness of a Filipino home, I hope that they will, I'm hearing that Mary Grace and Saimadas and Cheese Rolls are going to Korea and going to Hong Kong and going to Singapore. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? This bread, which, by the way, is a part of Spanish influence, no? That we also come to tweak. through time, you know, and the ensaymada has become ours, you know, isn't it wonderful that it's speaking for the goodness of Filipino food and culture and traveling all over. I like that. I like to be an ambassador for our country. I like to lift our image to the world. And that's one of the reasons why I would want to keep Mary Grace going for a long time. And I want our people to be proud of what they do in the cafe, to know that they're doing something noble too. You know, it's all about nobility of aim. The uplifting of a country and a people, for me, is a very high goal, a very noble goal.
You've mentioned what inspires you to keep going despite the difficulties. But for you, what do you think is the impact of Mary Grace Cafe and the products of Mary Grace and just the image of this red and gold box? What do you think is the impact of Mary Grace to Filipinos?
I love it that we are loved by community out there. It really warms my heart. And this is the very thing that I would sacrifice a lot for. Mary Grace says a lot about family. Mary Grace says a lot about the goodness of home. Mary Grace says a lot about togetherness, working together, you know, moving forward together as a family. I told you about being ambassadors. A brand could be an ambassador for the country. But I also like to think that the business is speaking about certain values that might be very hard perhaps to preserve in these days. I'm a homegrown business. I'm all about someone who grew a business at home, growing through time. I'm all about not an instant business, but business that was hewn into the stages of my life as a mother, as a wife, stages in my life of bringing up the children, stages in my life as, oh, I might sound corny to you, huh? But of the Blessed Mother. No, Blessed Mother is all about waiting. And I know that these days, young people are very in a hurry. And I'd like the business to tell them, take your time. Take it slow. You know, you don't have to be so quick and, you know, be patient. It's all about the process. You know, good things come from the unfolding through time. That's what I want to say to a lot of young people who come into the cafe. Because I'm not about a year or two. I'm about, I would say, perhaps a lifetime. I am a grandmother. I grew it as a young mom, and I'm a grandmother now, you know. And wow. Yeah, I'm a grandmom now. And I like to tell that to the young people. I think the message I want to bring across to them is let things fall into place in God's own time. Step along. Step along with the maker, you know, with our creator, you know. And wait for what he will show you around the bend. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think today's society, everyone's just used to instant gratification.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And you know, that's probably why divine providence, the flagship is the ensaymada. Because ensaymada is never about something quick and instant. It's about waiting. As you know, with all breads, there's two rising. So to make an ensaymada is from beginning to end, something like 5 hours and more.
Oh, wow.
You know, when you wrap it, put it in the box and it gets to you, you know, and more, a lot more. You know, that's why I've been thinking about it. Mary Grace is all about the unfolding, the waiting in time. And so look at the ensaymada. It's about the very essence of waiting. That which you give time to grow is precious. It's more lasting. It's really also about service, you know, and service from the heart. Yeah, not service because, you know, I said there must always be something higher in what you do, and then you'll be okay. And it's probably why we have people out there who appreciate Mary Grace. Maybe they see it. Maybe they understand the story.
Yeah, I was supposed to ask you for advice to Filipino bakers and cooks, but I think what you said really applies in all aspects of life. That says it all. So on that note, yes, we would like to thank you for sharing the goodness of home with us, not only today in this conversation that we had, but every day through constantly contributing to the creation of the Filipino identity through Filipino cuisine. Like, we really appreciate your insights on the importance of food in nation building, as it is through acknowledging the diversity of the Filipino food identity that we can fully capture what it means to be Filipino. So thank you very much.
You know, being able to ponder these things in your head, bring my thoughts together, makes things also more clear to me.
Thank you for joining us in another episode of On Point, the guidance podcast arm where we sit down and talk with the experts on issues in and beyond Loyola. Special thanks to our executive producers Samantha Onlatko and Martin Ramos, as well as our producers Tatiana El Maligro, Andrea Micaela Llanes, Neil R. Reyes, and Beatriz C. Reyes. This episode was edited by Megan Sang Chen. Our cover art is designed by Tiffany Koo, and our theme music is brought to you by Vivid Productions. This has been Bella Gregorio. See you the next time you go On Point.